back when I used to be pastor, I loved it because my clip right here, and I can move it and cover my hand over it. Someone will tell me something, I can whisper back to them. I said, this, you gotta hold your hand. But thank y'all for coming tonight. I've been asked a lot of questions here lately. A lot of questions. When the school first started, a lot of things was changing. We had no flags at our school whatsoever. I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not. You drive past a school, there was no flag outside. I don't know about high school, but I could say Shawnee and North Junior High had no flags outside. None. We questioned it, but we thought, oh, maybe because it's now starting school, maybe it'll come out eventually. School started more and more, and flags still not out. So I sit down with my girls and ask them a question. I said, y'all do Pledge of Allegiance in your school? And they said, no, we don't do it no more. I was shocked because I was thinking, man. Then I asked them about prayer. I knew Shawnee School used to pray every morning and the Pledge of Allegiance every morning over their intercom. They said, no, we don't do that no more. Well, I prayed about it, and I shouldn't tell this far, but I told Brooke and someone else to stand up in the middle of the class and say the Pledge of Allegiance during class. She said, well, if I get in trouble, I said, don't worry about that. You worry about that at home. Yep. We'll take care of that at home. Oh, Dad, I don't want to do that. Shay came to me. She said, I'll do it. I said, no, Shay, look, I'm not your parent, so you get in trouble at school. I don't know what's going to happen at home. I said, but, you know, just ask questions. Ask why. Well, a few days went by, and one of our police officer, Chris Ward, said something to me. He said, man, did you notice we ain't got a flag out front of our school? Well, Chris comes from a background of military. She's adjusting it. But he got really upset about it. So we asked the SOR officer, we said, let me ask you something, Mr. Don. Why is there no flag up front? He said, I didn't even know sitting out there. So he went and talked to the school, and the school wasn't going to do it. But somewhere during the motion of it, one morning we were sitting there, and a guy came out, and he put the flag up. I thought, somebody spoke up in there. You know, as we only give our opinion, but, you know, as a in law enforcement, firefighter, medical, whatever you are, you only give so much opinion, and you have to stop. Because then you start pushing, they call it ethics. They start pushing because you think you got a badge, you can push your weight around. Think you're this, you can push your weight around. You think you're a teacher, you can push your weight around. We focus on that. We that comes at us a lot. So I was sitting there, I saw the flag go up. I thought, well, there's one part. The praying in school, I knew it was going to be a challenge. So, you know, we can't control what goes on in that school. And they're having to protect themselves from everybody else. Aubrey comes home from school one day and says, Daddy, guess what? I did a Pledge of Allegiance. I said, really? And she said, Daddy, guess what? We said prayer on intercom. I said, really? So I don't know, when we prayed about it, we talked about, look, God's got this. I don't know if the motion of us talking about it built such a talk about it that it finally got to the right people and I thought we better do something. But both schools are doing Pledge of Allegiance now, and I know Shawnee was doing prayer every morning. To me, the point of, you know, taking a flag down, that, you know, that I didn't understand that. I really didn't. The prayer, I understand the world where people got different parts. If you let someone read the Bible, if somebody wants to read Satan's word, they can read Satan's word, and you can't stop them because you allow the Bible read. I know the rules of that. I fought with that before in Bradley, Arkansas. But I look at a lot of that, and people say, "This God has forsaken this world. God has forsaken this world. He doesn't want nothing to do with us," but it's totally wrong. We're a world that's forsaken God. We have moved God out of everything. We tried at schools. We moved him out of everything possible. We had a thing, I don't know if y'all noticed, now, a few years ago, they attacked the nurses. They said, oh, nurses, all they do is play cards. They don't help nobody. They just play cards at the hospital. That's all they do. They just play cards. Then they attacked the school teachers there. School teachers don't teach. They just go through some material and they just read their little books. They don't do nothing. They attack the police. All we do is beat people up. We don't care about justice or anything like that. Let me tell you something. Something happened to me this week, and every time I close my eyes, I see that guy's face. So don't tell me that all we do is go out here and beat people up. Don't tell me that teachers don't teach and nurses don't take care of people, because I see it every day in my eyes. And we and people say, well, the God's forsaken us. No, it's we're forsaken God. We have not forsaken God. This world has forsaken God. And then we got all this quarantine stuff comes up. Let me tell you something. When I see somebody had been in church in a while, I'm talking about, and Sarepta talks, okay? If you can tell you, word gets around Sarepta. That's something. Well, I tell you. Well, hey, Brother Jason, you know what I heard the other day? Oh, what did you hear the other day? They don't say, they say officer, but still, it gets around. I'm tell you, if you can't go to church, but you can go to Walmart and buy your groceries, but you can't come to church because you're quarantined, man, you're using quarantine for the wrong thing. I can't go to church, but I can go grocery shopping. I can't come sit in a chair, but I can go grocery shopping. I can't, it's on and on. We see it every day. And I tell you, I see a lot of structure. Domestic violence is raising so much. It's in Webster Parish this year. If you ask any cop, he'll tell you, what's the most calls you get right now? Domestic violence. Why? Quarantine. No, that's not it. That's not it. It's not because of quarantine. We've all had to deal with each other for years. It's because of extra stress that's put in our lives. Because we allow, you know, we took in God out so much. When somebody took God out of their marriage. Now, we don't need God. We're doing great, baby. Everything's doing great. Bills are paid. Everything's great. We don't need God. Then what happens? They start calling God's name out. There was a lady who put something on Facebook here a while back about defunding the police. I don't need no cops. Well, about 2 weeks later, she called a cop screaming for help. And they got put on Facebook. And she backtracked at what she said. You know, a lot of people, they act like they don't need God until they're on that deathbed. And they start calling his name. I've seen it too many times. You know, people say, my marriage doesn't, we don't need Jesus Christ in marriage. Brother JB talking about the Holy Spirit in your marriage this morning. You know, marriage is tough. Trust me. Me and my wife, we've had our share. And you know, every day we grow. When my wife started going to school, our marriage got stronger. It got more strong, if you get what I understand. It's kind of, we started arguing more because the more stress we had in our lives. I got looking at myself as a father, and I'll admit to this, and I'll be the first one to admit to it, because I guarantee there's more here that does it the same way. 2000 and, say, about 2000, how old was Brooke? 12? About 2007, I want to say. My wife's going to say I'm wrong, but I think 2007. We got married in 2006, but I think 2007. I'm not good at dates. 2007, I surrendered to the ministry. See, I knew I was wrong. I knew it because she keeps up dates. I can't keep up dates. Whenever I did, I used to study my Bible religiously. I used to have my Bible. You walk in my house, you're going to see two or three Bibles every time you walk in my house. Because I study my Bible religiously. Because, look, when you're 24? I think that's a yes. 24. Now I was 24, 23 is when I really started getting more, and I got church, and I got licensed, and I thought, oh, Lord, I'm ready for this. I'm ready. Let's do it. And I had to study the Bible because there's people who, man, I'm telling you, you can ask JB this. When you're a pastor of a church, they want to answer for everything. Everything. Brother, why is the sky blue? Hold on, I think it's in Genesis. They want to answer for everything. So I had to study. I studied hard. Man, I was going to give everybody an answer. If I didn't, I was going to say, I will get back with you. But I always gave them an answer. And I studied every time because I would get my sermons ready. I get my sermons and my family. I was like, yo, God first. And I was strong about it. But then I started falling away. As I got more in the ministry and more in the ministry and more in the ministry, you get stressed. And I say this because of the fact I want us to always stand behind our pastor. You know, we love JB. But I'm going to tell you, being a pastor is stressful. It's stressful for me. He ain't got no hair now. But if he had hair, it'd start falling out. But it's stressful. It's very stressful. And I realized some things in my life was going on as the years progressed. And I thought I found me a scapegoat. So I thought, you know, and I got thinking about forsaking God. And that's what I was doing. I wouldn't say I was leaving God. But I kind of was to the point where I felt like God was done with me. That's time just go out and just shake hands and smile. Until I lost my tooth and I thought, oh boy, I ain't smiling no more. But I found a way to fix that. But, you know, going through all these different things in our lives, and with 2020, JB Post shared a thing with us the other day. It said, what is your greatest challenges in 2020? I have not responded to that because I'm still thinking. What is my greatest greatest thing that's the greatest challenge in 2020? And I used to go, I told her, I said, man, I just don't know what's the greatest challenge. And then they asked the same thing at the council, well, not council meeting, the little meeting we had the other day. They said, what would you say was the challenge you've had 2020? I know, what, if you could describe 2020, what in one word, what would you describe it? That's what he asked us, the other guy. If you could describe 2020, what would you, how would you describe it? Everybody gave their different opinions. Some said terrible, some said love, some said challenging. And I think challenging to me probably stood out more than any of it. We have been challenged for church. We have been challenged for work. We found that we could do more work at home than we can at work. We found that out in 2020. But we also found out that they will close church down before they close any convenience store, any shopping mall, or any Walmart, whatever. We found out that. A pastor asked me, he said, brother, what are y'all doing for your church on Sundays? How do y'all do it? And I thought, wait a minute. Now, my pastor told me to watch out people like you. Trying to be, we're doing that right so you can shut us down. So what you fishing at here, brother? So I dug a little deeper, make sure he wasn't one of them. Gonna get his $500 for writing us out for something. So I dug a little deeper. I said, brother? He said, well, JB. You know what I'm talking about. But he said, well, I'm just wondering how JB doing it. And I told him, I said, well, we're doing it the way we're supposed to do it, serving God. And I ended like that. But I know he wasn't one of those guys, but still, I was protecting us, you know. I was kind of a little, brother, how are y'all doing it? We ain't having church. Oh, y'all doing it right, you know. But he's just not happy about that. He's not. He's a great man of God, great pastor. He's not happy about that. He wants his church wide open and running. He'll tell you, brother, he'll tell you about our church, how he believes our church is on fire for God. And I believe, I really do, I don't believe our church is forsaking God at all. We've had to do things a certain way because we were told to. But once we was able to open doors, do more, we do more, and we do more. Now, sometimes Sister Daphne gets on to us because we do a little too much. She says, I don't know if you're going to do that or not. And we go, well, she gets on us a little bit, so we kind of pull back a little bit. So we try to, you know, do it right. We don't want anybody mad at us. We did rope off the seats one night, and that didn't go so very good, so we didn't do it no more. But but we try different things, and the reason we do this, y'all, because I want you to focus two things right quick. I'm almost done. When it comes to forsaking God in our homes, we need God back in our homes, back in our marriages, back in our own churches. Let me tell you, just because it's church, don't mean there's God in it. I have people tell me, well, brother, we do this, we do this. Will you teach them anything about God? Oh, no, man, they run away from that. They won't come to church. Let me tell you, me and Brother Jarrett, every week something new happens and we got to deal with when it comes. We don't have many youth at that, but the youth we got, it's challenging. It is challenging. I'm telling you, think, oh, you ain't got that many. Let me tell you, y'all just don't know. Y'all just don't know what we go through sometimes. And they have also learned this. You can't get away with nothing. They learned that very quickly. Even if their grandma hits another car and tries to lease the rest, they never get away with nothing. But all that being said and done, we got to get God back in the areas of our lives. We got to get him back in these areas. You know, one of the things I talked about, we as parents, if you got kids in here, as parents, if you teach kids in preschool, if you got grandkids, you got nieces, nephews, when they ask you how 22 was, throw some positive in there somewhere. Because let me tell you what I have learned. My wife has taught how to teach me this for almost 15 years, something like that. She has tried to teach me this. Brittany's been trying to teach me this too. Well, Brittany's been trying to teach me something different, but Kim's been teaching me something too. Brittany's been teaching me to do this. And this means shut up, in case y'all was wondering. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, this part. This is the stop part. I went to them one day with some advice, and it didn't go so good. I said, I'm going to JB next time. I'm going to y'all no more. But my wife tells me that, and we're not saying this because I want everybody to realize, because when we tell our kids how 2020's been, and all we talk about is negativity, they're going to go away with that. And they're going to say, well, 2020's been terrible. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't get emotion very often. My wife says I have no feelings sometimes. But I try to be emotional, guys, sometimes. But let me tell you, what I went through the other day almost took me out pretty good. I ain't gonna lie to you. When that family got there and they broke down like they broke down and screaming and yelling that you're only 48, that's something I'll never forget the rest of my life. That guy was not, he was sick one night and passed away that next day. Okay, this wasn't something that he was fought with or nothing like that. So I tell you this, you know, I try that circle, that love circle thing we went with, you know, that ain't just for marriages. It's really not. It could be, you could use that for anything. You really can. If you're bonding a problem with your sister or your brother. I ain't spoke to my sister in about, man, I don't really know when, to be truly honest with you. The other day I was in Walmart, and I went to get my kids some chicken nuggets. I got me and Kim some hot wings. And I went there, and this girl was behind the counter. She was dressed from head to toe. All I could see her was her eyeballs and glasses. She had mask on, hat on, gloves on, paint. I mean, he was covered. I looked at her. She said, yeah, it's me. It's my sister. Now, the longest conversation I had with my sister in a long time was, I want two orders of the hot wing plates. And I got thinking. Days later, I did give her my phone number. I handed it to her. Me and my sister, I don't hate my sister by no means. She don't hate me. We had a falling out about probably 7-8 years ago. It was a falling out. Then something else happened on top of that. But it's been a lot of issues with me and my sister. And the more I think about this guy that passed away, the more I think about as a father, as a member of our church, how I want to live my life. I don't want people to think, well, he don't like his sister, how can he like God? You know, people look at stuff like that, y'all. Really do. And how can he treat his wife with disrespect and do better this way? So I've been looking at a lot of my life, and I've been thinking a lot about 2020 and what's happened this year. I've been chewed out because I didn't show up enough calls. I've been hated by one fireman went after me and my pastor. But a lot was happening in 2020 to us as a church. And I got thinking more and more. It's like, so if we tell our kids how 2020 has been, and so all we got is that, they're going to run with it. So my wife's lesson taught me this. My kids feed on me. They do. Especially Brooke. Brooke feeds on me hard. If I come home grouchy, she's going to be grouchy. If I come home happy, she's going to be happy. Aubrey feeds on Kim. Kim comes home happy, Aubrey's happy. Kim comes home mad, I'll be mad. Especially if they've been together and they're already mad when they come in the house, but all four of us get mad. Okay? But I've learned that. And this is why I'm saying this for sure, because most people in this church, in this core group right here, this is our church, really. This is it right here, y'all. I know we got more people now. Brother Keith, Ms. Cole, I know they're not here tonight, but we got some here that normally here at nighttime, too. That there's core people of our church. The way we carry ourselves in our church could reflect on those other people. Okay, we have another family that's wants to looking for a church home that we got told. I hope we put a great impression on for them. They were here tonight. Some of you might know that. Some of you might not know that. They were here back here in the back at the baby shower tonight. They're looking for a church home. I'm going to challenge you. And I kind of put Sister Monica on the spot back there, but I did it for a reason because you would have done it to me. but I did it for that reason. It was not to be mean. It was just to try to produce what our pastor's trying to get us to do. And I didn't. I'm just waiting for someone to come up to me at Walmart and ask me, "Hey, can you pray for?" I'm going to do it right then. Yeah. Right then. Probably never ask me to pray for him again, but I'm going to do it right then. And I thought about that, and I get thinking, why we do that? And I almost forgot something here. I get thinking, why would we do that and why would we continue doing that? There's a verse in the Bible. I'm going to show you this verse right quick. This one verse says so much. Go ahead, Sister Daphne. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Different version. That one verse alone says so much. As a little kids, we learn that. We learn it and we recite it, but do we really understand it? In the world that has forsaken God, but God has not forsaken the world. You know, I challenge everyone here tonight, if you have taken God, if you felt like you have backslid, I have. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be the first one to say it right now. I feel like I've fallen back some. I really do. I really do. I have a Bible in my cop car that I actually found in my cop car. It's not even mine. I don't know who it belongs to be honest with you. I found it in my cop car. It don't belong to the chief. It don't belong to the last officer. I don't know how it got in there. And I caught myself. I was like, man, you know, maybe God's telling me something here. And I'm going to be honest, but I do not like to read. I really don't. I am not a big reader. I read a Bible, of course, but I'm not a big, I can't grab a book. Lord JB got me reading one right now. And I sit down with that book, and first chapter was pretty good, I'm guessing. The second chapter meant like, to me, it was like the same thing the first chapter. So, but it's a good book. It really is. And just, I'm trying my hardest to dig into it. And Kim says, brings it to me, Tim, and goes, read. Mm-hmm. I'm reading. And I read three chapters, and JP said the thing out. All right, y'all, y'all should have read the first three chapters. Now, what do you think? I was thinking, I just got done. My brain's ready. Let's do this. I had actually one more page to actually complete three chapters. I thought I was done, but it quite wasn't there. So I had to read one more page. But I tell you this. If you have feel that you have backslidden, that's the term, Baptist term we used to use back in the day. If you feel you have backslidden, backslidden it means if you feel like you have gotten a little away from God. And you've got a little more away from God. And you ask yourself why. Don't blame it on 2020. That ain't no excuse. You've been locked up in your house for 6 months. We can't blame it on 2020. So what can we blame it on? Nothing but ourselves. I have failed there. I really have. I really have failed there. I'm teaching the youth how to understand the Bible. And how, you know, the Sue's two daughters, you can go up to them right now and say, hey, name all the Bible verses. Ty, you have to really listen to, because that girl talks so fast. I'm talking about, you put a radar on, it's like 300. So I have to tell, now Shay talks like it. But she does something cool. She holds her hands above her eyes, and she pushes her eyes like this. And I stopped her one day. I said, I know why you're doing that. She said, how? I said, you're visioning that card in front of your face, and you're able to see each word as you go down. That's how I used to pass all my tests in school. I can mirror the paper in front of me and find the answer, searching the page. And that's what I do. So she did it. She started naming them. Boom, 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 boom. And it made me feel good, because a month ago they couldn't do that. They really couldn't. So it's good. And then Brooke started off, boom, 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 boom. Zach, boom, 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 boom. They didn't quite get as far as other two, but they did good. It's a step. It was good. I was proud. And I got thinking, and I'm about done. I got to thinking about what we do in our church here. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be truly honest with you, that the preschool, I thought was a bad idea. I'm not going to lie to you. I was 100% against it. 100%. Because I didn't think our church was structured enough to have something like that. Because at the time, that's how I felt. Because at the time, I believe it wouldn't. But it grew into something, and it's really good. I'm telling you, I know right now you really can't come up for a visit because of all the craziness. But once all this craziness is over, you should get with Brittany and let her walk you through and watch what these kids do here. They're learning about Jesus, too. It ain't all about A, B's, and C's. They're learning about Jesus, too. Miss Monica's class can pray for you, tell you anything about the Bible. Now, I'm sure their classes can't, too, but that class I know for sure because she tells me about it all the time. And I've heard them talking there. I've been in an attic with this place, and I heard kids screaming one another. So y'all pray for these ladies. It gets loud here. Very loud. But I'm saying this for one thing. I'm about to go. Do not forsake God and think he's forsaken us in 2020. He has not. We have moved, not him. He's still there. I used to use a demonstration. I used to take your hand and picture yourself in God's hand. Run as fast as you want to run. You cannot run his hand. You think you're the fastest person alive, but you're not going to run God's hand. He's always there for us. And all we have to do is reach out and grab it. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for Kim. Pray for my kids. Kim's got one more semester left, hopefully. in a few more weeks. She got one more semester left, and she'll have less stress. Can you see what she's doing right now? Studying. During church. During her husband preaching. She's like, he ain't telling me nothing I don't already know. Right? But it doesn't bother me. She does it on JV preaches too, so it doesn't bother me. So, but she's trying to better our family. And it's been a struggle for her this year. Y'all, I got some news given to me by my sergeant. He likes to be called that. My sergeant, Chris Ward. He goes, I said, what you about? You about to go to the academy. You better lose some weight, fat boy. Y'all just got to know Chris, okay? He's a lovable guy. He picks on everybody. I said, hey, man, I thought that was not until like July. He said, you want to go in the summertime? I said, oh, no. I got you're good. He said, I'm just trying to take care of you. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to tell you something. So like JB said this morning, and this is true, I have to take a test to get in this thing. If I don't pass the test to get in, I don't have a job because I can no longer work for the Sorrento Police Department. And it's not nothing that elections have done. It's the fact that a cop has 1 year to enlist in the academy. If that cop does not enlist in the academy within 1 year, they cannot have him as a police officer. They can drop him down to part-time, but he cannot be full-time. Well, in 2021, you can't even do that. They're passing a new law. Even reserves have to go to the academy. Who's going to pay to go to the academy just to be a volunteer cop? That's what they're going to do to us. So, if I get in, which I know I will, because I'm going to start. I drank one Coke today. Hallelujah, Jesus. One Coke. Normally drank about 9. I drank one Coke today. So, I'm starting. I got to pass that test to get in. That test to get in ain't got nothing to do with, well, actually it does, but it ain't nothing to do with like a written test. It's a physical test. I got to do so many push-ups within so many minutes, so many sit-ups within so many minutes, run fast in so many minutes, jog, run, whatever I got to do, I got to beat that test to get in. If I don't beat that test, I don't get in. All right? That's the first challenge for my life. And he's talking about challenges, mountains. I was thinking, whoa, he's talking about a mountain. This is a mountain. Second thing is, if I get in, say I make the cut, because there's a selection. I make the cut. I get in. If I fail one test, I'm kicked out of the academy. One test. I don't care if it's about 1.2, one test, I'm done. So y'all pray for me. It's going to be an interesting year for me. It's 18, it's 6 weeks class, six. I forgot how many weeks it is. I think it's 8 weeks. 8 weeks of class or something like that. So y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for Kim. I'm supposed to be probably really grouchy. So I pray for her because I'm about to quit Coke. Since it's like her quitting coffee. It's hard. She ain't going to quit her coffee. I don't want to quit her coffee. No. But I got to quit my Coke. So y'all pray for me. If you don't remember anything I said in that, just remember this. We have not forsaken God. God has not forsaken us. We have forsaken God in this world. You know, and I know I'm not talking to y'all. I know y'all have not. But what's around us, we see it every day. So I want to challenge you. Now, if you feel like you have moved God from your family a little bit, you feel like you've moved God from your focus of your work, your friends, I'm going to tell you one thing. I said this a few weeks ago. Sometimes you have to groom yourself. And what I mean by groom yourself, I'm not talking about getting a haircut, trimming. I'm talking about groom your friends, okay? Because sometimes your friend circle is what brings you down. And sometimes that friend circle will bring you up. Somebody said, well, I just don't care. I want to be liked. You can be liked and go straight to hell then. It's up to you. You know. But it's like this, y'all. I got some close friends of mine. JB's got some close friends that are pretty much the same people that will give the shirt off their back to you. Some of the nice people you'll meet but won't step foot in church. And they say they believe in God. They say they do, but they won't step foot in church. You can never get in here. We're working on some. And I ask myself, you know, they say, if I die, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Now, I'm not saying if you don't go to church, you won't go to heaven. But your lifestyle around you, you know, how you act and what you do, sort of like you say the world, God forsaken the world. It's like you're forsaking God here. You think you can live your life Monday through Saturday, do what you want to. Then on Sundays, you know, you don't go to church, but you may watch it on TV. Or something like that. Or even go to church and live a life you won't do Monday through Saturday. You think it's perfectly fine. And people like come to you like, oh man, I need Jesus in my life. And they ain't going to come to you. You're living the same life they're living. But you talk about how God is good. And 10 minutes later on Facebook, you're cussing. We have to watch ourselves, y'all. Remember this. We have not God has not forsaken us. We have forsaken God in this world in 2020. I want you to go home and think about that. I want you to think about tonight your families. What could you do that you feel like you have maybe moved back from God a little bit in your family? Or if your friendships or your work, whatever. I think I need to read my Bible more. We need to read Bibles more of family. I need to show better respect towards my wife. Because you get what I'm saying? It's continuously. Maybe a friend's relationship with you. It could be a sibling or anything like that. I challenge each one of you to try to do something with that this week. Brother JB, I'm going to ask you to come here for me in front. I'm going to lead a word of prayer with us. If anybody be here, they want to come talk to JB or me about a situation in your life. You think this is where I think I need to work on, this is where I fell at, and you want to do better, come talk to us.